So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. And Paul writes the following. He's writing to Timothy, who's in Ephesus, his mentee, and encouraging him this way. And he writes the following. He says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." It's God's word to us this morning. We're in a series that we've been looking at habits over the past few weeks, the habits of disciples and that sort of thing. And our habit for this morning, you probably picked it up from the Bible passage. The habit that we're looking at this morning is the habit of regularly immersing ourselves in meditating upon, studying, and reading of Scripture. Right. Developing a habit and a rhythm of regularly reading the Scriptures. And rather than tell you, I kind of want to lean towards what I was doing last week, rather than tell you, you need to read the Bible more, you should be reading the Bible more, and that sort of thing, I'm just going to make the assumption right at the beginning that you know that, right? Give me a thumbs up, you know. Okay, so we all know that, right? So this is. I'm not going to go down that route, because I'll make the assumption that you know this because you're a follower of Jesus, and you know that a follower of Jesus is a learner. And if we want to learn about God and we want to learn about Jesus and how to live for him, then we need to immerse ourselves in Scripture and study Scripture and that sort of thing. I also don't want to kind of lean in that direction, because I know what it's like sort of sitting in a congregation being reminded of these truths and walking away feeling miserable. Because, you know, because I know that I take 2 steps forward and 1 step back sometimes in this, you know. And so I want to encourage us again this morning. And so what I'm going to do is, this is a tale of two halves. The first half is just, well, actually the first fifth is probably just practical information. And then the other part is just going to be 5 reasons drawn straight out of this text why I think it is a fantastically, phenomenally good idea to study Scripture, read Scripture, immerse ourselves in Scripture. All right, so practical bit, and then why I think it's a good idea, why we should do this. So the practical bit is all around our acronym that we've been doing, which is HABIT. All right, you may remember what this stands for. HABIT is H, have a plan. All right, and just to say again that unless we have a plan of how we are going to read by the Bible, how we are going to sort of, which bits of Scripture we're going to consume and meditate upon and that sort of thing, if we don't have a plan, we won't get very far. But when you have a plan about these things, you're able, it sort of charts the course for you. It plans the way forward for you. It directs where to put your steps and that sort of thing. You know what's coming. It just kind of organizes you, I guess, in a sense. And the great news is, it has never been easier, never ever been easier to have a plan to develop a regular Bible reading habit. If you have a smartphone, the only thing you would need to, well, not the only thing, because you'd need to read as well, but one of the things you could do is download the YouVersion app, all right? And on that app, there are literally hundreds of different Bible reading plans that you can possibly imagine. It doesn't matter where you are in your level of reading and how deep you want to go in your study, you can read books of the Bible, you can read themes, you can read through the whole Bible, through the New Testament. It's a fantastic resource, right? The only challenge with having so many resources available is you've got to be really focused, because there's this beautiful smorgasbord of things that you could read. And if you're hungry, then you're like, oh, I think I'll have it all. And you must, no, you need to have a plan, right? So you need to be focused. I'm going to read this book of the Bible. Maybe you want to just say, okay, this year I'm going to read through the New Testament. I once spent a whole year, the only book of the Bible that I read was, with the exception of reading for sermon prep and stuff, I read Ephesians the whole year. And it was fantastic, just taking it in little bit by little bit. Everything I listened to was around Ephesians. Just an amazing letter that means so much to me now. So you've got to have a plan. Two, you've got to be accountable, right? You need to buddy up with somebody in your small group or in a prayer triplet or something like that and say, okay, will you read the Bible with me? Or I'm reading this plan. Will you keep me accountable? The great thing about YouVersion is you can actually make friends with people and share plans with people and read it together. So it's awesome. You know, it really is good. And I would say that this is one of the things, the reason why we sometimes struggle to build godly habits, and the reason why we sometimes build bad habits, is because we stumble at this whole thing of accountability. Don't make ourselves vulnerable to other people and say to them, hey, listen, I'll give you permission to speak into my life, to ask me difficult questions about how I'm getting on in my habit of prayer or my habit of reading the Bible and that sort of thing. And so we don't build it up. Equally, we get stuck in sinful patterns and thought patterns and that sort of thing because we don't have somebody who we will make ourselves accountable to and say to them, listen, I'm battling this in my life. Will you be my encourager? Will you be in my cheer section? Will you pray for me? Will you ask me difficult questions from time to time to see how I'm getting along? Right? Our individualistic society kind of makes us just sort of think that we can do the Christian life together. But if you remember a couple of weeks ago, Nick was reminding us, you can't. Right? We've been designed for community. So we make ourselves accountable. Then number three, be consistent. All right, 5 minutes a day is better than no minutes a day. And so if we're consistent, little bit by little bit, all right, you build up a habit. But you won't see the difference of that habit on day one, or day two, or day three, or day four, or after the first week, or even after the first month maybe. But it's 5 minutes a day, all right, as a starting place, and over 6 months, you will begin to see the impact that it has. I came across a great Bible reading plan. I actually think we should do it together as a church next year, where you read through the New Testament together as a church across the year. And it's called 5 by 5 by 5. So it's 5 minutes of reading a day, 5 days a week, and then you've got five questions to really take you deeper into that text. I think if we did that as a faith family, I think that would be amazing, the impact that it has, right? Growing together that way. I stands for initiate. You know this. It just means you've got to make a start. There's no point in having a plan and being accountable and consistent. That's if you're not going to make a start. And then T, you trust God. That as we read Scripture, that He'll be at work in us by His Spirit, renewing our minds with truth. And slowly over a period of time, we will develop a biblical worldview. We will see the world that God, the way that God sees us. And then we will behave in the world the way that God would have us behave. We will be salt. We will be light. His word will be powerful in our lives, making wise the simplest. Yeah, it will be sweeter than honey to us, purer than much gold for us. It will revive our souls and bring joy to us. This is the impact of God's word in our lives. And we trust God that as we get things in place, that He will do this through the reading of His word. So that's the practical bit. And hopefully, my prayer at the beginning of this morning was, God, would you plant a seed in every single one of our hearts? Wherever we are in this process of growing in a habit of Bible reading, God, would you plant a seed of hunger in our hearts to want to read your word more, to study your word more, to savor your word more, so that it may have this impact upon our lives? So that's the practical bit, but then the reasons why I think this is an absolutely fantastic idea. Five things that spring out of this text. The first one is, this book is God-breathed. This book is God-breathed. You know, Paul, when he originally wrote this to the original, to Timothy, I think probably what he had in mind, majorly in his mind, was the Old Testament scriptures, right? But when you read Peter's letter, in one of his letters, he puts Paul's writings and the other New Testament writings that are recognized as the kind of New Testament canon, he puts them on a par, right? So when we say that all Scripture is God-breathed, it is all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament. It's God-breathed. And the word that Paul used there for breath is the same word as wind and spirit. And so what Paul is saying is that although Scripture is written by human authors, so that men were sitting down and writing, it has the Holy Spirit as its inspiration. So each person's personality and perspective would have been shown there, but the Holy Spirit was at work in them and through them. They weren't just kind of free writing stuff, you know, that had been downloaded to them in some sort of way. God was working in and through them by the Spirit as they wrote the Scriptures. And so Paul then says, hey, this Scripture is God-breathed. Now let that sink in for a moment. Let it sink in of what it means that Scripture is God-breathed. How many of you tuned in to Boris Johnson's messages over the lockdown whenever he was making an announcement about the lockdown or about what you could do, couldn't do, the roadmap and this thing? How many of you tuned in to BBC to watch? How many of you read the newspapers? How many of you caught up on Twitter feeds and that sort of thing, kind of telling you? Almost all of us, right? If not all of us. Thousands of people, millions of people up and down the country all logged in to listen. And then we probably got into groups on Zoom or on phone calls and that sort of thing and said, so what are we allowed to do? You know, what are we not allowed to do? How does this impact me and that sort of thing? You know, how does this impact whether I see my grandkids or whatever the case may be? All right, we're kind of working out how this impacts us. And you ask the question, why is everybody listening? Why is everybody tuning in? And I think there's three reasons. The first one is he's important. He's the prime minister. Number two, he's got a message. And the message that he had directly impacted every single one of our lives in one way, shape, or form. So everybody's listening to what it is that he has to say because he's important, because he's got a message, and it's a message that directly impacts all of us. Now take that idea and put it against Scripture. And in Scripture, what we find is here is the God of all creation, the one who has spoken creation into being, who by his word sustains all of creation, the King of the universe, the Lord of all, the sovereign God who is over all, the one who is bringing his kingdom to us, capturing hearts one at a time. And he's speaking to us through his God-breathed word. And he's got a message that he's speaking that directly impacts and affects every single one of us. Scripture is God-breathed, God's message to each and every single one of us that impacts and affects each and every single one of us. Now, when you put it like that, why would you not want to read it? The King of all the universe, make sure you get it, the King of all the universe, and he's got a message, and it's a message that directly impacts your life. It affects your life. Would we not want to hear what he says? In a world where there is just so much uncertainty and upheaval, would you not want to hear a message from the King of the universe that directly impacts you and says that, look, I am faithful towards you. And my love towards you is steadfast. And I'm going to be with you. When you're going into difficult situations, do you not want to hear this message that God is saying, I'm going with you? You know, in a world where there's just so much, where we experience so much antagonism and criticism and strife, and this is right from kids when they're at school all the way to, you know, into adulthood and that sort of thing. When we're experiencing this, do you not want to hear a message from the King of the universe that says to you, hey, listen, I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm in your cheer section. I will always support you. In a world where we experience so much frailty and weakness, again, do you not want to hear a message from the King of the universe that says to us, listen, in your weakness, my power is made perfect. And then to stand on promises that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. To be reminded, as Paul reminds the Ephesians, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in us. It's the Holy Spirit who is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. I don't know about you, but I do. And God's breathed word comes to us, and it's his message to us, and it's made accessible to us. It's a great reason, I think, to immerse ourselves in Scripture and to read Scripture. Number one, it's God-breathed. Number two, it makes us wise for salvation. Scripture makes us wise for salvation because it points to the one that answers the deepest longings that exist in the human heart. You will know this from before you came to faith in Christ, or maybe you haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ yet, and this is where you're at. Before we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we knew there was something missing, right, in life. And so we tried all sorts of different things. And I don't know about you, but I certainly did. You know, you try all sorts of things to try satisfy the longing that is in the heart. And maybe it can be found in money, or maybe it can be found in pleasure, or maybe it can be found in thrill-seeking, or career, or in material things, or substances. But you discover that none of it works. Where you look, none of it satisfies, because we've been made by God for relationship with God. And as the writer of the Ecclesiastes said, you know, God has set eternity in our hearts. So there's a longing in the heart of each human being that is a longing for God. And Scripture tells us, it kind of points us towards how we can have that longing fulfilled. It tells us the story that we've looked at in our worldview over the last few weeks. You remember creation, fall, redemption. How we've been created by God for a relationship with God, but we've thought that we can have life apart from God. And so each of us has turned to our own way, trying to find life apart from God. And as a result, we're separated from God, and we're spiritually dead in our sins and transgressions and unable to rescue and save ourselves. But then at just the right time, God comes to us in the work and person of his Son, Jesus Christ, who lives a perfect life on our behalf. Tempted in every way and yet remains without sin, and offers that perfect life as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that a way could be made that you and I can be forgiven. So a way is open that we can be made new, so that we can come in repentance and faith, putting our trust in Jesus Christ, and be born again by the Spirit, adopted into God's family. And the Bible tells this great story of redemption. The Bible tells us this great story of redemption. And so Paul can write to Timothy and say, listen, when you read Scripture, it makes you wise for salvation. I think elsewhere in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14 to 17, there's just a beautiful kind of, Paul lays it out, how this works in such a great way. From verse 12, he says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And then verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. These verses assume here that a person has to call on the name of the Lord, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, in order to be saved. But they also point out the logic of why it is that Paul says to Timothy, Scripture makes us wise for salvation. You just think through the logic of what Paul has just written there to the Romans, and you follow it. People can only call on Christ if they believe in Christ. And they can only believe in Christ if they've heard about Christ. Then you can hear about Christ if someone tells them about Jesus, which is what the Bible does. It tells us from beginning to end, it's all about Jesus. And in this way, it makes us wise for salvation. And then saving faith comes through hearing the message about Jesus, the glorious gospel. How God reaches out to undeserving sinners like you and me in order to rescue us and bring us into his family. Scripture makes us wise for salvation because it tells us all about the gospel. But as I've said many, many times before, and you know this, the gospel is not just for undeserving sinners that need to hear of God's saving grace, the gospel is also for us that follow Jesus. For the weak and the weary and the worn out and the frail and the stumbling and the three steps forward and the two steps back kind of Christians, you know, that like you and me, we're seeking to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing all the time, that it but by the grace of God go I. And it's through the Word of God, as we read God's Word and we're reminded of the gospel, we're told again that we are held in the grip of grace. That we're sustained by His grace. That He's faithful toward us. My guess is that you don't need any more encouragement, right? Right? Okay. You're probably thinking to yourself, just let me go now. I want to go and get my plan in place. I want to go get accountable with somebody, you know. I want to go be consistent. I want to initiate. I'm going to start this evening. I want to trust God the whole way. But just in case you need a little bit more encouragement, I said there's five reasons. So you've had two. Here's the next one. Scripture, as Paul writes to Timothy, Scripture will thoroughly equip you for every good work. Scripture will thoroughly equip you for every good work. I think, again, then there's three parts to this. Because the way that Scripture does this, I think, is that, number one, it entices us. You ever been enticed by Scripture? You ever read the stories about the men and women of God in Scripture and you think to yourself, oh, I want to pursue God like that. I want to be obedient to God like that. I want to hunger for God in that way. I mean, who amongst us here doesn't want to be described as a woman of God? The guys are all like me. You know, I don't want to be described in that way, okay? But ladies, right? If you think about Esther, Ruth, Elizabeth, Mary, Deborah, you read these stories about these incredible women of God and the way that they were faithful and they were obedient. They weren't perfect, but they were faithful and obedient, the way they encountered God. And there's something in these stories that entices us. Think, I want to know God like that, and I want to follow God like that, and go after God like that. And guys, if we think about the stories about people like Samuel and David and Daniel, and Peter and Paul and James, John, you think of, he reads stories about these men of God, and you think to him, Timothy, and you think to yourself, I want to be like that. I want to go after God like that. I want to follow God in this way. I want to be like Daniel in a world that was so compromised in the context that he was living in, and yet remained absolutely faithful. I want to have the passion of Paul that just going to, you know, just to keep going, even though there is so much persecution and so much difficulty that he encounters. Scripture entices us in this way. Read these stories about these men and women of God, and it's just like, oh, do you know what? I want to grow to be like that. But then at the same time, it thoroughly equips us. In other words, Scripture matures us. Right? It makes us mature. You know, I think Paul in his letter here, as he writes, the words that he uses is that Scripture teaches and rebukes and corrects and trains us so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's as we're reading the Bible, as we develop this habit of reading the Bible, in the one sense, the Bible reads us. And it points out the areas that we need to change. Points out the areas where we're living in compromise, where our worldview does not line up with God's worldview. And it encourages us, because the gospel is there to change. Maybe we look at the world in a particular way, or view certain situations and circumstances in a way. As we read Scripture, our minds are renewed, and so we're instructed on how to view the world correctly. It will shape and change our attitude towards money. Shape and transform our attitudes towards marriage. Our attitude towards parenting. Our attitude towards loving our enemies. And so on. And so Scripture comes, as we read Scripture, as we apply it to our hearts, as we seek to live it out in faithful obedience, it's shaping our character and it's shaping our actions in the world as well. It thoroughly equips us. And then for every good work, which tells us the scope of this, Right? Sometimes, you know, we think that Scripture is thoroughly equips us for every good work at church and the stuff that we do at church, but that's not the case. It thoroughly equips us for every good work, whatever it is that you're doing, wherever it is that God has placed you. Right? So this might include the ironing or the cooking. I mean, come on. Yeah. Who likes ironing? But if you're doing it for the glory of God, you're shaking your head like, okay, yeah. Or cooking, or cleaning, or in a boardroom meeting, or a team meeting at work, or looking after the grandkids, or meeting people at the school gate, or in the classroom, or in a university study hall, you know, wherever it is. Scripture thoroughly equips us for every good work. So that whatever it is that we're doing it all for the glory of God. I guess if you wanted to put it into a really simple phrase, as I did this morning at the first service, in this way, Scripture guides us. Scripture guides us. Teaches us all about God, teaches us all about how to live for God in the world, in every circumstance and situation that we might find ourselves in. Number three, Scripture thoroughly equips us for every good work. But then number four, Scripture, I guess the flip side of God guiding us, Scripture also guards us. That's what Paul's hinting at when he writes to Timothy here. Scripture, if we immerse ourselves in Scripture, if we study Scripture, if we build our lives upon Scripture, it provides a firm foundation for us to stand. This is what Paul's talking about when he writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4:14. He says that, he points out that there's a direct connection between maturity and not being tossed around by every wind and wave of teaching. So if we're allowing Scripture to train us and correct us and rebuke us so that we're thoroughly equipped for every good work, it's providing a foundation so that we're not tossed around by every wind of teaching, so that we're not taken captive by every single conspiracy theory. And boy, do they abound, right? Because we know the truth, and the truth has set us free, and we're standing firm on this firm foundation of truth that God has provided for us. And here, Paul writing to Timothy, it's kind of slightly different stance, but he says, listen, preach the word, Timothy, and he states the reason for this, because the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine. So we immerse ourselves in Scripture so that we stand firm on sound doctrine. Again, if there's ever a time where this has been needed, it is now. People are calling what is good evil, and they're calling what is evil good. People take the gospel and the lordship of Jesus Christ, and it's watered down in pulpits to make it more palatable for the masses. The sovereignty of God, the sufficiency of Christ, the fallenness of humankind, these are being dismissed for newfangled ideas, which might be a little bit more tolerant and palatable for people to accept. And it's a slippery slope that, if you remember last week, just leads us into chaos and confusion and frustration and ultimately pain. And so people are going from bad to worse, as Paul says, being deceived and deceiving people. And the Bible guards us from this. Right? It guards us from this. And in the sense, it guards us from this, not so that we can be suspicious of everybody and that sort of thing and get behind with a bunker mentality, get behind the walls of the church and stay away from the big bad world. Rather, completely the opposite. Scripture guards us. Think about Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God, right? Why do we put on the full armor of God? So that we can stand. And then once we've done everything, to stand, not behind the walls of the church, but wherever it is that God has placed you on your front line, in that place to stand firm and not be moved from the hope that is ours, that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And so we read Scripture and we put on the helmet of salvation, all right? Scripture tells us all about that. Breastplate of righteousness, we find out all about that in the Bible. Shield of faith, we find out about that in the Bible. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, again, it's the Bible. The belt of truth, which is found in Scripture. Feet fitted with the gospel of the readiness of peace, again, Scripture. And it helps us to stand firm so that in wherever it is that God has placed us, in that place we're a kingdom presence, living with conviction. We know what we believe, but living it out with compassion and with great courage. guards us against all of this stuff. But at the same time, it guards us against the lies of the enemy. Right? Where the enemy comes up behind us and will whisper all sorts of things in your ear. You're not good enough. God could never use you. You've messed up one too many times. Scripture is a shield for us. It's there to guard us, and it reminds us, no. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm loved by my Father. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God that is mine in Christ Jesus. God has a purpose for my life. It says so in His Word that I'm a new creation created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that He has prepared in advance for me to do. You can't tell me that God doesn't love me, because everything about God's Word points towards the fact that He loves me with an inseparable love. Scripture guards us from lies of the enemy so that we can stand in this world and display the glory and the greatness of God, holding on to deep convictions with deep compassion and deep courage. And then finally, Scripture prepares us for mission. Chapter 4, verse 2, Paul's talking to Timothy, and you could say, well, that's a specific word for Timothy, but I think it applies to all of us, because we're all called to take the gospel into the world wherever God places us. Peter tells us to always be prepared for a reason, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. And here Paul says to Timothy, and I think to us as well, be prepared in and out of season. Right? In and out of season. Be prepared to share with people. And this drives home for us again, where one of the shifts that the four P's will be making for us is, you know, it drives home the personal responsibility that we all have. Right? That we're not just relying on the gathered church to be a witness, but actually realizing, no. We have a personal responsibility, every single one of us, wherever it is that God takes us. We are ambassadors for Christ. We get to represent Jesus. We get to, through the words that we speak, through the way that we make good work, through the way that we stand up for people in a whole variety of different ways, we get to say, hey, listen, I'm a child of the King. And in that, we're always being prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. What's the secret of your joy? You know, why do you rejoice when life is difficult? You've just received bad news. How can you stand so tall in the midst of all of that? And all of these questions, they open up a doorway for us to be able to just talk about our faith in Christ Jesus. Not to ram it down people's throat, but just in the most natural way. This is the reason I have a hope. His name is Jesus, and He is good. You know, today is the day of salvation, and now we are sent to be a kingdom presence in the world. We're moving towards that day when Christ will come again in all His splendor to judge the living and the dead. And so we have a time limit on this opportunity to be wherever God has placed us to preach the word. And Scripture does it. It encourages us to do this. It encourages us to do this wherever God has placed us. Five really simple, easy to remember reasons, right? Things to encourage us to read the Bible. It's God breathed. This is a message from the King of the universe to you, and it directly affects your life. And this book, it makes you wise for salvation. God's saving work in your past, but His ongoing saving work in your future, and the promise of a future saving one day when you go to be with Jesus. This book guides us so that we can grow to maturity, so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work, from ironing to picking up the kids. And it guards us so that we're men and women who stand firm, so that our lives are light, so that our lives are salt in the world. Standing firm for Jesus. And then it compels us to go out. Just pick up the personal responsibility, regardless of the cost, and to be a witness for Jesus in the world. You encouraged? You ready to start? Or continue? All right, it might be continue. Okay. Just developing this habit, right? Developing this habit of reading Scripture. Bringing all the, you know, we've got quite a few sort of things that we're bringing together now, aren't we, right? We've got the habit of worldview, and habit of fellowship, habit of prayer, and habit of reading scripture. We've got another one next week, but I'll leave that till next week. These things will make you strong. These things will make you chase hard after Jesus.